The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 37, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 20th, 2009, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 6, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 37. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Janaistivhiramuktanam
Amimam
sitakarmanam
Vigata shreyasa papa
Lokayor
ubayokrita
Janaistivhiramuktanam
Amimam
sita karmanam
Vigata shreyasa papa
Lokayor
ubayokrita.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Prajapati Jatra said, "My sons were not at all freed from their three debts. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narada Muni, O personality of sinful action, you have obstructed their progress toward good fortune in this world and the next, because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods, and their father." As soon as a brahmana takes birth, he assumes three kinds of debts. Debts to great saints, debts to the demigods, and debts to his father. The son of a Brahman must undergo celibacy, brahmacharya, to clear his debts to the saintly persons. He must perform ritualistic ceremonies to clear his debts to the demigods, and he must beget children to become free from his debts to his father. Prajapati Daksha argued that although the renounced order is recommended for liberation, one cannot attain liberation unless one fulfills his obligations to the demigods, the saints, and his father. Since Daksha's sons had not liberated themselves from these three debts, how could Narada Muni have led them to the renounced order of life? Apparently, Prajapati Daksha did not know the final decision of the Shastras, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41, Devarshir Bhutapta Nridang Pratinam Nakinkaro Nayam Renecharajan Sarvatmana Yashadanang Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihritakartam. Everyone is indebted to the demigods, to living entities in general, to his family, to the Pitas, and so on. But if one fully surrenders to Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation, even if one performs no yajnas, one is freed from all debts. Even if one does not repay his debts, he is freed from all debts if he renounces the material world for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet are the shelter of everyone. This is the verdict of the Shastra. Therefore, Narada Muni is completely right in instructing the sons of Prajapati Daksha to renounce this material world immediately and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of the Harashvas and Savalashvas, did not understand the great service rendered by Narada Muni. Daksha therefore addressed him as Papa, the personality of sinful activities, and asadhu, a non-saintly person. Since Narada Muni was a great saint and Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations from Prajapati Daksha. He merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all the sons of Prajapati Daksha, enabling them to return home back to Godhead.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha
So, sometimes preachers have to face these kind of difficulties. You tried to save somebody from the material world, and you get in big trouble with the materialists. So, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to save the people, or are we supposed to please the materialists? What is our business? To pacify the dakshas or to save the fallen soul? Of course, if we can not irritate the dakshas, that's very good. But if there's no option, then we just have to irritate them. They become so so agitated sometimes when their children join the movement that they die of heart attack. So it was wrong for their child to join the movement? We have seen it happen in Florida. One young man, he wanted to become a brahmachari in our ashram. So we went to pick him up at his house to bring him to the temple. And his father was there to greet us. He was very angry. He started blaspheming Krishna like anything. And then he was blaspheming Krishna, the father was. Our temple president was leading us. He was there. He told the temple president, after blaspheming Krishna, he said, "The truth hurts, doesn't it?" He told the temple president. Our temple president said, "Well, not as much as it hurts you." And then the man walked in, then we drove away with his son, he walked inside his house and he died of a heart attack. So did we do the wrong thing? His son wanted to join our movement. We did the wrong thing by bringing his son to the temple? We did the right thing. What do you say? It was wrong for us to bring his son to the temple? Or we should? Or it was correct? What do you all say? No one has an answer? Huh?
This son, he wanted?
His son wanted to join the movement, yes. So we were wrong to allow the son to join, or we were correct in allowing the son to join? What's the answer? No one will say? Yeah?
If his father died, he purified himself and changed the consciousness.
I'm waiting for the answer to the question. No one has given an answer.
They say correct.
It was correct, yes, that's right. The father, well, you could say he died like Kamsa, thinking of Krishna. So he got some benefit. Oh, sorry, Krishna's. He was blaspheming Krishna and then he left his body, you see. So actually he got benefit. Prabhupada said, if you want to hate, hate Krishna. So actually the man was benefited, yeah. Of course, we don't laugh about such things. It's not a happy thing for us to see them. We feel very sorry for the poor father, you see. But it is our duty to save the son if he wants to become a devotee. This is Nara's duty to save these sons of Prajapati Daksha. Even if the father is disturbed, still it is a duty to save the son. We are obliged to stick to our duty. We are obliged to stick to our duty. To wake up everyone from the lap of Maya. Just like in the class, we see people are nodding out. So it's our duty to wake you up. You can take a nap after class, it's all right. But now you be alert. This is Bhagavatam, this is Krishna himself. Manifesting in the form of this Shabda Brahma. Manifesting in the form of Shabda Brahma. To save you from the repetition of birth and death. This devotee, he's smart. He stood up. He knew he's tired, so he stood up. This is very good, you see. He's showing a good example. You see. Instead of giving in to sleep, he realized, I'm very tired, so I will stand up to stay awake. This is very good. This is what we used to do when Prabhupada was here. We wouldn't want to sleep in Prabhupada's lecture. We would stand up if we were tired, you see. This Bhagavatam is very important. Nashta praeshvabhadreshu nityam bhagavatatevaya bhagavat yuttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. By regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. And thus loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Becomes established as an irrevocable fact. This is a very nice word, irrevocable. This means it cannot be nullified. Can't be changed. If something is irrevocable, you can never change it. So, bhakti or Krishna bhakti will become solidly established in your heart. So that nothing can take it away, you see. Just by attentively hearing the Bhagavatam, you will have the bhakti solidly established in the heart. So therefore, to try to stay awake, it is a great benefit. If one makes that endeavor, Krishna will reward one for doing that. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Sure, money.
Said one shloka, and the shloka says that almost of dirt in our heart,
right. Almost
it burns away when we hear the Bhagavatam classes. Right. Yes, and the Shiromani asked why almost and what's there left.
Yes, here's the answer. The first half of the verse says almost to nil, and the second half it says it becomes established as an irrevocable fact. There's two phases. First of all, you come to sattva-guna. That's almost a nil. And then the next step is irrevocable fact. That means shuddha-sattva. So Bhagavatam will bring you to both levels. First it brings you to almost a nil stage. That's shuddha-sattva. I mean, excuse me, that's sattva, yeah. Almost a nil, that's sattva gun. And then it brings you to the next stage, which is shuddha sattva, irrevocable fact. Nashta praeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata bhagavat dyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. So yes, it is a two-phase program. First, you become almost completely pure, and then you become completely pure by the Bhagavatam's hearing. Yes.
You said that Brahma state is not just a state of mind.
Next question. Yeah.
Says that Shastra said that spiritual world in the material world is like a reflection of the spiritual world, and some titles, you know, this
some what?
It's like, you know, genealogy trees, the old family, the roots. It's family traditions.
Family genealogy. Family genealogy.
Yeah.
Family genealogy.
Genealogy.
Is this accepted? This family genealogy.
Is.
Is this titles accepted here in material world? You know, these family traditions. Like titles like king, prince, and
that's what I'm saying. That's sort of
accepted. There is one word I don't remember this in English, you know? This like manu. It's not like tradition, it's like the family, you know? It's like the royal family. Dynastia.
Yeah, there's the Kshatriya dynasty, yes. Which is based on and Seminole. And it's a Seminole line, but the disciplic line is not by Seminole, it is by preaching, by instruction. The Kshatriya lines, they are by birth, but the Guru line, it is by instruction, not by birth.
So these family traditions are respected.
Yes, they formally the family traditions are very strong. The Kshatriya kings had a very strong line of family tradition, which was highly honored and respected. Yeah, formally, but it is now dead and gone. Kali Yuga, the royal dynasties are finished. But they are in hiding right now. At the end of the Kali Yuga, they will come out again. There are two kings of the Surya and Chandra dynasty, the moon and sun dynasty. There are two Kshatriya kings in those lines who are in hiding right now. And they will, at the end of the Kali Yuga, they will restore those dynasties for this next Satya Yuga.
Mm-hmm.
Their names are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't remember their names, but their names are given. Those two kings, they are alive right now in hiding. No, they're both like fathers. They're both fathers. They're two parallel royal dynasties. Any other questions? What did she say?
She said that you mentioned two times the word daksha. What does it mean?
Daksha is the personality we are studying here. He is a demon. He is the father of these boys, and Narada Muni made them devotees, and Daksha became very angry. So I'm using Daksha as a symbol of the materialists.
That when Brahmachari actually he has to serve Guru and Krishna, but also he has he's the only child in the family, and he has to take care of the family too. So what to do in this situation? Can you explain?
Krishna is the ultimate protector of everyone. According to scripture, you have no obligation whatsoever to any material family member. But as a preacher, a devotee will naturally think, what can I do to help my parents become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada acknowledged that actually we should help our parents become Krishna conscious. That is the best care that the son can give to his parents, to help them become Krishna conscious. In terms of taking care of their physical needs, that has to be seen according to the circumstances. But as far as Shastra is concerned, there's no obligation. Surrendering to Krishna fulfills all obligations automatically. Spiritual master and
What step to be taken, whether they should take care of the parents or remain.
When one's temple authorities?
Spiritual master.
Oh. Okay. Yes. You can translate. Consult with one's spiritual master to see what specifically to do in a particular situation. That's why a guru is essential. Any other questions? Yes?
Shrimad Bhagavatam that studying Shrimad Bhagavatam must the self-realized soul.
Studying
Shrimad Bhagavatam must the self-realized soul.
One who studies it must be a self-realized soul?
To study Shrimad Bhagavatam you must be
self-realized. Oh, must be, okay, all right.
Isn't there? Isn't it harmful for us to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the person that has not yet realized?
Mm. So, self-realization means to realize what is the self. So, can you tell me what is the self? What is the self? Is the self the body? What is the self? If I ask you, who are you? What's your identity? What would you say?
She already knows what to say. I'm the servant of the God.
All right, then you're self-realized. And I will hear this Bhagavatam from you. Next question. Yeah.
What happened to this boy who heard that he's this brahmachari when he heard that his father is dead?
Oh, he surrendered anyway. When we got to the temple, we found out the father had died. We didn't know. We drove away and he went inside in the house. And then when we got to the temple, we found out the father had just died. So the son just went ahead and became a devotee.
I just found myself no sin on suffering.
Next question. Yes.
Material thing like to get more wealth.
Yes, okay.
Useful thoughts in your head about gathering money. What Prabhupada means by the word unuseful thoughts?
Unuseful.
Prabhupada in one.
Unuseful.
Useless.
Useless.
Yes.
Useless.
Useless. Well, on the other side, the person must think about this.
gathering money, he must think about it because he needs this money.
Well, a brahmachari, he doesn't need any money. A householder requires money. A brahmachari just needs a place to lie down at night and some little prasadam. That's all. He simply remains under the care of his spiritual authorities. That's all. Also, he has to. Of course, the temple manager, he has to think about money. How is he offending? Oh, by sleeping?
By thoughts.
Oh, well, you just have to bring your...
And the question is, should this person leave the Bhagavatam, not to offend or sit there?
Yato yato nischalati manas chanjanam astaram tatas tato yam yaita datyam yivavasham niyat. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, this is 6:26 Bhagavad Gita, one must withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So if your mind is doing some monkey business, simply grab that rascal monkey and make him sit down and hear the Bhagavatam.
6:26.
Mind is like a monkey. You just gotta grab that monkey and bring him back. Make him sit down and hear the Bhagavatam.
So you must stay on the Bhagavatam class.
Yeah. Of course. If everyone says, well, my mind wanders and I'm going to leave the class, everybody be leaving the class. There'll be nobody here. Next question. Yes.
Influence on us.
like this.
So what's the question? Question. Stand up, like he's doing. See. That'll help you stay awake. If you're falling asleep, you can stand up. Yeah, but when you stand up, then you become more rajasic.
Just a little.
Yeah, you get a little more, a little zap of rajas when you stand up. You see? If you're very sattvic, then you can just sit straight. But if you're not very sattvic, then you may have to stand up if you go into tamagun. Try to cultivate sattva, sit straight, with the back, straight back, you know. Sitting straight can help too, you see. Breathe deeply. Like a yogi, you see. The yogis sit for 60,000 years. You don't have to do this, but you know. But just sit very straight. Take some deep breaths. Don't let the trick is don't let your chin down. Hold your chin up. If you let your or you can always if you keep going like this, you can look maybe look at the ceiling. You know, look at something up there. If you keep your head up, it'll help you to you know. If you go like this, you know. Keep that head up. That'll help you stay awake. Don't close your eyes. Well, I think I'll hear with my eyes closed. Keep the eyes open and keep the chin up and sit straight, and that will help you. And breathe deeply. And taking notes can also help too. If you write down notes on what you're hearing in the class, that can help you stay awake also. And when all else fails, stand up. If that doesn't work, then go like, then rock back and forth. That doesn't work, get some ice cubes. Put them on the back of your neck. If that doesn't work, just go to sleep. Go take rest. Yeah.
Little comments. Can I?
Question. Questions. Questions are always favorite. Question.
I think that the human form of life has a control over everything and they can do what they determine to do.
Yes.
So sleeping is nothing big deal. If anyone wants to.
When people go get a job, they have to stay awake at their job. Otherwise they lose a job. So they stay awake at work. Yeah. When you're driving down the highway, you have to stay awake or you get killed. So if you stay awake while driving and you stay awake at your job, why you don't stay awake in Bhagavatam? It means, if I'm sleeping in the Bhagavatam class, it means I don't think it's very valuable. But we should understand Bhagavatam class is the most valuable thing. More than billions of euros or krones. It's the most valuable thing, Bhagavatam class. Anything else? Yes?
When you decided to become a preacher, so what helps you to become a preacher and what's like moves you?
Well, I was a preacher from the very beginning. I was already in the mood of being a preacher even before I joined. I was already thinking that the world has to be saved. But I just didn't know how to do it. And then Prabhupada gave me the formula how to do it. So I was in the mood of being a preacher long before I even joined the movement. I saw that the world around me was ridiculous. I could see that it needed a spiritual revolution to change it. And I fully dedicated my life to bringing about a spiritual revolution on this planet. But I couldn't do it because I had not yet revolutionized my own consciousness. If one wants to revolutionize the planet, you first must revolutionize your own consciousness. So I realized that I myself was in a state of illusion. So my first business was to become free from illusion by surrendering to bona fide spiritual master. The very first time I wrote Srila Prabhupada, I told Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement. The very first letter I wrote him. He was very pleased. He said, I see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I took that order of Prabhupada as my life and soul. To always be enthusiastic for pushing forward this movement. No matter what happens. And Prabhupada's words have always come true. Krishna has continually been blessing me now for 38 years. And those blessings get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as time progresses. Any other question? All right. Go ahead.
Question. We heard such a person like Bob Marley from Jamaica, who was playing the reggae.
Who?
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, who plays reggae.
Oh, Bob Marlon. That.
Bob Marley.
Bob Marlon is not from America. He's from Jamaica or something.
From Jamaica, yes.
Yeah.
He started this Rastafari movement. So
right.
Maybe you can comment a little bit, these guys, what you think about
them. I was never I never even heard of Bob Marlon, to be honest. Till I was after, he wasn't well known. After I joined the movement, I lost touch with the material culture. When I joined the movement, you know, the big names were Bob Dylan and the Beatles. You know, that was the big names in the youth culture.
Bob Dylan and the Beatles are the way that she was going to get to see.
So I never heard of Bob Marlon. He became prominent after I joined this. Yeah. So I never heard of him. So many years later, after he was dead and gone, somebody told me about Bob Marlon. All right. Oh, yeah. You have to engage the monkey in Krishna's service, that's all. Shravana kirtana smanana vandana padasevana dashadi pujana saki jana admani vedana govinda dasa bilasare. Govinda Das is telling you how to engage that monkey in Krishna's service. You hear about Krishna? You chant Krishna? You remember Krishna? You worship Krishna? You serve Krishna? You become friends with Krishna? You give everything to Krishna? You touch the lotus feet of Krishna. Especially Pujari, you have a very good opportunity, you see, to touch the lotus feet of Krishna. So, take full advantage and engage this monkey mind in Krishna's service. So, I guess we'll stop here. It's getting a little late, so we'll thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I think everybody wants extra time, then okay.